Mark, I want you to explain beyond organics again. We know organics, we know sort of conventional farming. So, can you sort of give us a really good rundown on beyond organics, because that's what you and Arden Anderson are on. That's what you and Arden Anderson have designed.
Yeah. Well, basically, beyond organics, what we see beyond organics as is the next level beyond the standard of where organics is today. Okay, that and what we're specifically referring to is nutrient density. Arden and I both believe that in 20 years, nutrient density will be probably overused term. In other words, where organics is today, beyond organics will be in 20 years. The question is who's going to be on the front end and who's going to be on the hind end? Because here's what we see, Hugo. What we see is we see the way the healthcare is going. We see the way health is going. We see where costs are going. And we don't see any other way that the world is going to survive without going to nutrient density. You cannot simply add to all of the costs, farm level costs, transportation costs, healthcare costs. You can't simply add to all of the costs and survive. It's simply not possible. What you have to do is get more efficient. So as an example, if you produce more nutrient-dense product at the farm level, what happens is have product that is more valuable, and when you ship that product, transport it, you're transporting a higher level of value product to the stores. The stores will get this product, more will go out the front door, less out the back door, so in total, they will buy less produce, but that produce will be more valuable. And as they buy this produce that is more valuable and people consume it, what happens is that they realize that this is better for them. We will reduce the amount of fillers. We will end up increasing the amount of good food that is eaten. So in the end, all of the produce and the meat and dairy volume eaten will go up. What will go down is the amount of artificial fillers. So in terms of transportation costs in total will go down, or at least remain the same. Healthcare costs will certainly go down. Farm gate revenues will go up. In total, the amount that the consumer spends on food will go down. The amount of healthcare of costs that the consumer spends on healthcare will go down. So there's a large net saving for the end user by going to this program. Where the losses will be a lot less fillers, a lot less cost of transporting those fillers, and less cost on healthcare. So in the end, there'll probably be the need for a few less doctors and a few less healthcare people. And those people will probably, someone will need to find jobs in another industry, probably in the food industry.
Yep.
But it's going to a better system is in essence what we're talking about.
Mark, what percentage of farmers that you work with, or the beyond organic or the nutrient-dense type of farmers, make more money than conventional farmers?
For the ones that do it right, they all make more money.
Well, can you sort of explain that? Because the bottom line is, of this conversation is, what's in it for the farmer?
Well, what's in it for the farmer is an increase in revenue and a decrease in cost. In other words, what happens is we're talking about that threshold level. When a grower hits that threshold level, his costs in total end up going down. It doesn't happen it doesn't happen right away, because it usually starts out in a deficit. But what happens is over the course of a couple of years, as his soils improve, his costs go down tremendously as far as soils go. His savings in his first year usually is in pesticides and fungicides. That's where his first year saving is. So the first year he ends up at about equal. It's like it's the rearranging pennies thing that I talked about.
So it's not losing money.
Yeah. What happens is in the second and third year, as he gets to that threshold level, what he sees is his production goes through the roof, but his costs remain relatively stable. So his net revenue is a lot greater. Now, if you were to take your same costs and you were to increase your revenues by 50%, what you realize is all that 50% goes to the bottom line. In other words, I agree with most farmers that they don't get paid enough, but I would also say that most farmers are getting paid about what they're worth if they're not producing something that somebody wants to eat. Now, that's a harsh statement. There's going to be a lot of growers, probably a lot of your growers, going to get mad at me for saying that. But you know what? That's the God's truth.
Yeah.
Now, well, if there are a lot of growers out there who are producing outstanding product, those are the guys that are not getting paid. I mean, the guys that are producing something really good and not getting paid for it, I feel bad for those guys because, quite frankly, they're not getting paid what they're worth. They deserve to get paid a lot more.
Now, it's a pretty powerful statement, Mark, but the good thing is that not only you're a consultant or a visionary, but you're also a farmer too. So, it's a pretty powerful statement, what you just said.
Yeah. Yeah, Mark, I probably just angered a lot of growers.
Mark, I was just looking at a BRICS levels thing on strawberries,
mm-hmm.
and this is put out by International Ag Labs from the US,
mm-hmm.
and they say poor strawberries around about six BRICS levels, and the good ones about 14. When I used to go out to the farmers in our area, the traditional farmer was lucky to get about six or eight BRICS levels. So, so what do you think about BRICS levels, and what's the farmer learn about BRICS levels, and give me a bit of a rundown how you see it on a practical basis from a tool that a farmer can use, and maybe even give me an example of the strawberry farmer in your area or on your farm.
Right. BRICS level is a very good way for a grower to sort of measure himself. Okay. Now, here's what Arden says. Arden says a good BRICS level, or a piece of fruit that is at a great BRICS level, could very well be nutrient dense. It doesn't guarantee nutrient density, but it certainly opens the door for a grower to get there. If a piece of fruit or a vegetable or a meat doesn't test or doesn't have BRICS, it can't be nutrient dense. Okay?
Yep.
So if we use that as a base, and then we were to take the Reams chart for BRICS, we suggest that growers start there. That's not where you end up, but that's a good place to start. In other words, if you're growing a given commodity and you look on the Reams chart, and the Reams chart says something that's good should be at a certain BRICS level, and you're at that level, then you're certainly farming at a deficit. If you're at that level, then you're probably doing some things right. It doesn't necessarily mean that your produce will qualify as nutrient dense, but it certainly gets you in the door, the discussion, and it gets you on the way to get there, sure. The little strawberry guy that we have out there at our place, he would regularly beat the Reams chart, and he sold more strawberries this year than he ever has. And he wishes he would have, at the beginning he didn't want to listen too good, but as he went, he could see it, You know, he's one of those kind of like the learning curve kind of thing I was telling you.
Yep.
By the end of the season, he was kicking butt. I mean, it was, you know, 90, 100 degrees out, and he's still growing strawberries. He's still getting flowers. And he couldn't believe it. He's never seen it. Here it is, you know, he's out there, and it's, you know, 90-something or 100 degrees, and his plants are still green, and they're still throwing flowers, and he's still getting strawberries, and everybody else around him closed up shop, you know, 6 or 8 weeks before he did. He just finally closed up shop, but, I mean, he had a hell of a nice run.
Yeah.
And if he would have started sooner, he'd still be producing. So next year he told me, Mark, you know, shoot, he says, I'm going to start in August. So he's going to plant his new plants in August, and he's already asked me, hey, what do I need to do? How do I need to do it? And how can you help me? You know, because he wants to get it right from day one, because he realizes that's going to extend his season next year, and he's going to make even more money than he made this year. There you go.
Does this grower use a Brix-meter, or how does he gauge?
Yeah, he uses a refractometer. Uh-huh, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
And do many of your farmers use the Brix-meters?
I ask them all to buy refractometers.
Good.
Yeah, I tell them that's a tool. It's an essential tool. It's like having a shovel.
Right.
So a little Brix-meter and a little garlic crusher, I tell them those are essential tools. It's like having a pocket knife. I tell them a pen, a little pocket notebook, a pocket knife, a garlic crusher, and a refractometer. Those are his essential tools. Oh, and a shovel.
And the Brix readings, in effect, told you the nutrient density. Is that true?
No. It indicates how much Brix is in, whether you're testing leaves or stems or actual fruit or meat, it gives you a level of where your Brix is. Now, Brix is made up of several things, okay? But what it is that the higher your nutrient dense level is, or the higher the amount of in fruits and vegetables, soluble solids, the higher amount of soluble solids you have, the better your Brix is going to be, okay? And yep. Those soluble solids are a reflection of the nutrients and the makeup of those nutrients that are in your solution.
Yep.
Okay? So, like I said, you very well could have nutrient density. It doesn't guarantee it. There are situations where it would be a misnomer to say it's nutrient dense. But in general, there is a correlation between nutrient density and Brix. In other words, if something doesn't have Brix, we won't even test it for nutrient density because there's no point.
Yeah, so there's a correlation in some sense.
Yeah, absolutely. It's rudimentary, yeah. But yes, there is.
So your farmers use Brix meters or refractometers. Do conventional farmers in your area also use them to the same degree as your Beyond Organic farmers?
No.
Do they need
Most conventional farmers don't own a refractometer.
Right.
And if they did, they wouldn't know what to do with it.
Right.
So they need to be trained.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not expensive. You know, they're not hard to get.
No.
Relatively simple instruments.
Mark, what's your association with Arden Anderson? The reason why I say that is Arden came out here many, many years ago to Australia, and he introduced two or three-day courses on various different subjects, including radionics, and quite a few people went out and became instructors or people like yourself with using radionics in Australia. I'm not suggesting we start talking about radionics, but what's your association with Arden?
Well, Arden is a founder in Beyond Organics with me. So that's kind of where he is with Beyond Organics. Whether you're talking about radionics, biodynamics, any of those sorts of things. I think they all have their place, and they all have things about them that are extremely useful. I think, though, that it's like nutrients and it's like buying chemicals. There's no one solution for everybody, and there is no one way how to do anything. Usually the answer is a combination of several things, and usually that answer is associated with things that make sense scientifically. So, that's usually where the answer is. Here again, yeah, that may not be the answer that everybody's looking for, but that's what I believe the truth is.
Now, we're running out of time. Going back to that question, I ask you, how many or what proportion of farmers who take on your program or yours and the Beyond Organic things are successful and are making more money? Is it something that is a worthwhile thing?
Well, I tell you, Hugo, I very rarely ever lose a grower. Now, I've had growers that I just stopped working with because then I don't think I'm doing them any good because they're not doing anything I tell them to do. They simply hire me. They want to spend time talking to me, but they don't do anything. They don't do any of the things I'm telling them to do. So I just tell them to, hey, save your money, But I don't lose very many growers. In fact, I hardly ever lose a grower.
So that's saying that what Beyond Organics and your system is very effective because quite a few farms actually go out of business because they just can't make a go of things. In other words, they go broke, where by the sound of what you're saying and knowing you as well, the Beyond Organics is proven to work, and it works for the farmer. So how would you like to sum up in that what I just had to say?
Well, yeah, basically, the last thing I want to do is take somebody's money. So if I don't think I can help a guy, I usually try to tell him before we ever get started that I can't help him. Beyond Organics was not formed with the intent and purpose of trying to make growers spend money. It is grounded and based on the belief that where we're going as a society with all this chemical farming is the wrong direction, and that we believe that by applying the principles that we're talking about, we're going to have a better society, really. So it is a totally different a way of looking at things, if you will, and we believe that it is the way of the future. And we're not asking growers to just simply go out and spend more money, and we're not trying to sell them any certain type of product. The way that we make our money is by consulting. So we charge an hourly rate. We don't usually charge for things like phone calls or going to check a field. If I happen to be in an area, I'll just buzz by and check it. If growers send me pictures of issues or questions they have, I don't really charge them for answering the questions and stuff, that's not the idea. But if we're doing a lab work, if we're doing analysis, if we're doing things like that where we're making use of our proprietary knowledge, then we do charge for that. So that's kind of how we do it. And quite frankly, the way that Beyond Organics makes money is through marketing. It doesn't really make money doing the consulting. What the consulting fees do is cover costs, cover base. So that's kind of how we do it.
Good, good. Mark, we are drawing things to a close now. We'd like to spend about an hour on these things, otherwise we run into two CDs, which would be a bit cumbersome for farmers. So, Mark, I'd like to thank you very, very much for coming online. I know it's the end of the day for you there. And I'd also like to thank all the farmers who online and all the farmers who will be listening to this CD. So, Mark, would you like to wrap up in a final statement for your farmers or our farmers?
Well, sure. Basically, well, I'd like to, first of all, I'd like to thank you, Hugo, and Helen for all the hard work that you guys put in to what you do. And, you know, I very much enjoyed your guys' visit out here. And I enjoyed the opportunity to talk to you guys again via this webinar. And I would invite any of your growers who want to have further discussion or whatever to get a hold of you, and we can set some things up or whatever it may be. You know, it would be rather exciting, I think, to have some growers down there give this thing a whirl if they choose to. And I think that they would find that there would be some benefits from having done so.
Well, it's quite clear there would have benefits. That's so clear. Mark, well, I'd like to thank you once again for spending this time on the phone. And like you say, in the future, we'd like to talk again, and especially if we could have a conversation with Arden as well, because, you know, he is fantastic what he's done for world agriculture and the books he's written. Well, one book is Science and Agriculture. The other book that I know of is called Real Medicine, Real Health. So between the two of you, I think you've done some fantastic work.
Well, thank you.
So on that note, on that note, I'll say goodbye. And Mark?
Yep.
All the best. Goodbye, Mark.
Very good. Thank you. All the best to you guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good night.